And you know, when I was younger, when anyone would talk about going into the holies of holies or going into the throne room, it was kind of scary for me. You know, it's like God's there. You know, do you know he said we can't see his face or we'll die, you know? And that's where we need to be. I mean, we need to die to our flesh and die to our own desires and do what he wants us to do. But I have a friend, and I invited her to my house for Thanksgiving. And she said to me, she said, "Nancy, I had a dream last night." And she said, "Actually, the Lord gave me the song, and or a song." And she says, "The only thing that I can remember is the Lord said, you'll find me in the throne room, sitting in the lap of God." And it was just, I mean, I just almost went into shock, you know. It's like, oh my gosh, how awesome is that, you know. Not only are we in the throne room, but we're seated. And, you know, the scripture does say we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I just want to challenge you with that. You know, when you come into a time of prayer or praise or whatever, just ask the Lord to reveal that to you, to come into the throne room, into his presence, and be seated. And he is our Father. You know, that's one thing. I had a wonderful father growing up. I didn't get to see him much because he worked a lot, and he had 8 children. So, but I know that he loved me. And when we come into God's presence, understand that he is our God. But to me, even greater lately, is what he's been showing me. He is my Father, okay? And so refer to him as Father. You know, your earthly father, you wouldn't call him God. You know, you wouldn't call anybody that except God, our Father, of course. But he wants to have that personal relationship with us where we are his Father, or he is our Father, okay? And so whenever I pray, whenever I read the word and it says the word God, I've changed it to Father. So that, and it's powerful. I mean, it really is powerful, you know? You will find me in the throne room, sitting in the lap of God. And how can you have a problem when you're there? You know, how can you have a struggle when you're there? I mean, it's a totally new realm that I have experienced up until this time. But that's where I want to be. I want to be in his lap. And you know what? You talk about hearing his voice. You talk about knowing his voice. When you're seated with him, his voice is going to be very clear. Okay? It'd be very easy to understand what he wants you to say or do. Just, you know, be in his presence. And another thing that the Lord has helped me with lately, and mainly because of my husband, you know, sharing this with me, is to speak life to your own body, to your own situation. It doesn't matter what the situation is, okay? But because there's life and death in the power of the tongue. And when you look at a situation in the natural, if you spoke that, it would be death, okay? So don't look at it in the natural. Look at it in the spirit and speak life to any situation, whether it's a financial situation, a problem with our children, no matter what it is, problem with our health, speak life to it, because God is life. Our Father is life. And Jesus paid the price. No matter what the problem is, he paid the price for that. He laid down his life. I'll never forget what the Lord showed me one time. Someone was talking about, or I think they were singing about, you know, being at the cross and realizing, seeing Jesus on the cross and realizing the tremendous price that he paid for our salvation. And it was a tremendous price that he paid so that we can so we can be seated in heavenly places, okay? If he hadn't paid that price, we would have been dead in our trespasses and sin. But the Lord spoke to me and he said, go around to the back of the cross and see the stripes that I bore for your healing. And so in the vision, I just walked around. And you know, they beat him so badly that his bones were exposed. They said, in some research that one of the brothers did, they said you wouldn't have been able to recognize him. They beat his body so badly. But he bore all of that so that he could minister life and health and strength to our body. God bless you. Is this for us, your song, brother?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Words, it's the words.
Yeah.
There's an email address on that, brother. I don't know if you need that or not. Greetings. It's good to be here. Good to be in the presence of God. I thoroughly enjoyed that praise and worship. Sis, you brought us into the presence of God, and I thank you for that. I believe God has been here, and he's already spoken quite a bit. I want to just leave just a few things with you, and then we'll just see what God wants to do, because I believe he wants to do some tremendous things. In fact, I'm going to give you just some scripture references, and you can look them up later. I won't take the time to read them, but I believe it ties in with what's already been said, both in the adult Sunday school class and here already today. In 1 Kings chapter 17 is the story of Elijah, and he comes before the king, and he tells the king, it's not going to rain except by my word. And you guys know the story. He goes to the brook Cherith, and ravens are feeding him, and then it isn't long before the brook dries up and the ravens quit coming. And God tells him, he says, I want you to go to Zarephath. There's a widow that I have commanded. Thank you, brother. He says, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Okay? That's verse 9, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9. I have commanded the widow to provide for you. Then in verse 12, he's in Zarephath, and he meets this widow, and he sees her, and he calls out to her, and he says, bring me something to drink. And she goes, starts to go get him something to drink, and he says, and bring me something to eat as well. And she says, well, all I have is a little bit of meal, a little bit of oil, and I'm gathering two sticks, going to build a little fire, and I'm going to bake the cakes, and then my son and I, we're going to eat them, we're going to die. Now, I want to ask you a question. Did God command the widow to take care of the prophet or not?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Then I got to ask you another question. Why didn't she listen? What was she really looking at? What was she really focused on? What was the thing that she really saw in front of her? See, God commanded her. Okay? Now, God didn't suggest, Brother Oscar, God commanded her to take care of the prophet. He says, I'm going to bring a prophet your way, and I want you are going to feed him and take care of him. But instead of looking at the word and what God had said, she looked at what little bit she had, and she looked at death. She looked at, and she actually received death instead of receiving what God had said. And so my question to you is, what are we looking at? What are you and I looking at? And I'm going to cut this real short, okay? But what are you really looking at? Are you looking at the provision that God has for you? Are you looking at what God has already given you? He's provided for you. You're in the midst of a struggle. You're in the midst of a difficulty. You're in the midst of a famine. You're missing whatever. You're with. I really enjoyed, I believe it was Richard. Richard was bringing out this morning. I hadn't thought of that verse of scripture there in Habakkuk, where he said, though the fields don't produce anything, there's no cattle in the stall, I lose my job, I lose my home, I lose everything, yet I'm going to rejoice in the. What was he looking at? He wasn't looking at the circumstance, he was looking at God. In fact, I almost threw this out for you, Richard, but I just figured I'd wait for a little bit. And that's this, that he said, I will rejoice, yet I will rejoice. He began to praise and worship God. And I'm going to come back to that in a few minutes, but I began to praise and worship God. And he said, because he is my strength. In other words, he makes a declaration as to who God really was. And then he begins to prophesy. Read it. It's the last two verses of chapter 3 of the book, actually. He says, though all these things, the fruit of the vine fails, all of these things. Well, the widow woman here, she is looking at, she's got a commandment from God, and yet what she does is she looks at death, and she actually received the idea that she and her son were going to die, regardless of the fact that God said, I've got provision for you, and I'm going to take care of you. If you do this, I will take care of you. Wow. What has God said to you? What has God spoken to you? And are you looking at the Word? Are you looking at what God has said? Or are you looking at death? Are you receiving what God said and saying, Lord, I'm going to just trust you. I know, and I'm going to walk in the things of God. Or are you, well, man, there's a lot of ice and snow out there, and there's a lot of this, and I can't this, and I'm that, and you know, I'm having trouble paying my bills, and the food, you know, we really don't have much food here, you know. And what are you looking at? What is your focus? Yes, exactly. All right. Genesis chapter 21. I'll just throw this one out real quick too. But Genesis chapter 21, Abraham tells Hagar that she has to leave. And so she takes her son and she goes and they're getting very thirsty and she thinks she's going to die again. Okay. Or not die again, but in this situation, never mind. Anyway. She's looking at death as well as the widow woman. All right, how about that? But anyhow, so she takes Ishmael, she puts him under a bush, and then she goes off a long way because she doesn't want to see her son die. And who would? Okay, we don't want to watch our sons and daughters die. So she puts him under a bush, and she goes and she begins to complain to God. And God has to send her an angel and begins to talk to her. And then it says, and God opened her eyes. God opened her eyes and she saw a well. Now, when was the well put there? Did God all of a sudden get up in heaven and say, oh no, Hagar is over there and she put over and she's dying of thirst and I can't have them dying of thirst, so I better dig it. Boom, got a well. Now, God can do that. God can do that. But somehow I think the well was already there. Somehow I believe the provision of God was already there. But her eyes were closed to what God had provided. Her eyes were closed to I'm going to put it this way, and I had never thought about it until just now, to the resurrection of life in her and her son. Do you understand that God has given you life, and he has given you the source of life, but too often we don't see it. Too often it's right there, but we don't see it. And God is saying, I've already provided, it's right there for you. And if you just begin to open your eyes, here's a scripture that we just saw, in fact, just I want to go to it. It's in Haggai chapter 1. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. There it is. Haggai chapter 1. Israel's been back in the land for about 100 years or whatever, and they are struggling, having difficulty, and Haggai begins to prophesy. And I won't go through all the prophecy and so on. But in verse 12, the Zerubbabel and Joshua, they begin to rise up. The people begin to rise up and build. Verse 13, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. Now, he's the Lord's messenger, And he spoke the Lord's message to the people, okay? And that was the word of the Lord. So verse 14 is where I want you to really look. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. But what I want you to see is, so the Lord stirred up, and we just saw this yesterday, and didn't even have a chance until today to really look at it too much. But that word stirred up means this, to arouse, to waken, to stir up, excite, raise up, to incite, to arouse to action, to open one's eyes. What was going on? The people had, the people were right there and they weren't building and they're looking in at the temple and they're looking at the situation and they were just busy building their own houses and doing their own thing and taking care of their own thing and so on and running out of money and so on. It says you put money in a pocket and it ends up, you know, and you, to all these, you guys can read the story, you're aware of it as much as I am. And he says, but the Spirit of the Lord stirred. Or open their eyes. And what I want you to understand is God wants us to have our eyes open to what is real, what is of Him, not what is of the world. I can go back into the book of Genesis, and I'm going to take you back there. In chapter 13, it says this, that Abram and Lot, they both had so many sheep and so many cattle and all this, that Abraham says to Lot, he says, we need to separate one from another. And he says, you choose which way you want to go. And so Lot, you guys know the story. Lot looked at the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he saw that there were plentiful and all that and was good. And so he took off and he chose that. And chapter 13, and I forget, let's see what verse that was. Chapter 13. Oh, Lord, help me. Verse 12 says, the Lot pitched his tent. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. Okay? Genesis 13, 12. So here's Lot. He has a choice. I can go this way. I can go this way. This way is Sodom, Gomorrah. This way is grass for my cattle, my sheep. This way is wilderness. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Okay? Chapter 14, God begins to destroy Sodom. And it says that Lot is now living in a house in Sodom. Now, in some ways, you might say he upgraded. He had been in a tent. Now he's in a house. More permanent structure, you know. Takes the storms better. He's upgraded, you know. But what really happened? What happened was Lot began to look at the world. And he began to look and he began to see the things that were there. Abram began to look into the wilderness. And when God separated the two, that's when God spoke to Abram and gave Abram the promise of the seed that shall come, that shall be as the stars of heaven. Amen. But Lot began to look this way. And it isn't long before he's involved in everything. You see, every morning when he'd get up, he'd see Sodom and Gomorrah. Every night when he'd go to bed, he'd see Sodom and Gomorrah. And he'd hear the parties. And he'd hear the so-called fun time. And every day. And so he's getting closer and closer. Do you understand, brothers and sisters, that what we look to, we will eventually become a part of? And so that if we look for sin, or if we look at sin, it won't be long before we are involved in that sin. Okay? If we look at the people that are getting drunk, or the people that are doing drugs, or the people that are doing pornography, or the people that are out just partying and having, it isn't long before we're involved with them and we're caught up in that with them. Because you see, what he did is he created the atmosphere that brought about the problem. Amen. All right? Because the atmosphere that you create, and I'm going to cut this real short. This is an hour-long message that I'm giving you in about 10, 15 minutes, all right? But here it is. The atmosphere that you create creates a climate. The atmosphere in the North Pole creates the climate of the North Pole. The atmosphere around the equator creates the climate of the equator, okay? The rainforest, the heat, and so on and so forth, all right? Atmosphere creates climate. Climate creates a stronghold. So that when Lot is looking towards Sodom, he begins, his eyes are open towards those things, and he begins to create a climate around about him until eventually he is right in the midst of all that he had been looking at. His climate created a stronghold. The stronghold defines your destiny. And so the stronghold that he had began to define the destiny that was going to come upon him and his family. It's interesting to me that when Abram in chapter 13 separates from Lot, they separate because their herds and their sheep and everything was so great, there's so many of them, but yet after chapter 14, you don't hear of anything that Lot has any longer. All you know is it's him and his two daughters. That's it. What happened to everything else? Where's his sheep? Where's his cattle? Where's his servants? The servants of Lot were disputing and arguing with the servants of Abraham. One of the reasons they had to separate. Where's all the servants? What happened? The atmosphere created the climate, created the stronghold, defined his destiny. And brothers and sisters, God wants you and me to realize he's opening our eyes today to the climate that we have, to the atmosphere that we surround ourselves with. And if you don't like the atmosphere, if you're looking and seeing the destiny that's ahead and you don't like that destiny, then begin to change your atmosphere. Well, how do I change my atmosphere? I change my atmosphere by bringing forth praise and worship unto him. Because you see, when I worship him, that creates the atmosphere around me, which begins to create a climate that I begin to live in, and others begin to enjoy that climate. How many of you like the North Pole or would rather live in Florida? Which climate do you want? See, you can have the climate of Sodom, which is about to be destroyed, or you can have the climate of the wilderness, the blessings and promise of God, the purpose of God in your life, and begin to find the destiny of God that is associated with it. Because the atmosphere creates the climate, which creates the stronghold. Say, oh, but Brother Roy, the stronghold of God. Yeah, you see, it's still a stronghold. It's just that I've got a stronghold in God now, not a stronghold in the world. Or rather, I don't have a stronghold that keeps me in the world, but I have a stronghold in the things of God, and God has brought me into his tower, Brother Richard. God has brought me into the place with him where there is now a stronghold around about me, and when the winds of adversity begin to blow, that's all they do is blow. They cannot destroy my tower. They cannot destroy the stronghold because I'm completely surrounded by the presence of God. Amen. And the angels of God are there to protect me and watch over me. Glory to God. And then I have my destiny. I walk in the purpose of God. I walk in the plan of God. I fulfill the purpose of God for my life. And I see the ultimate destiny of being with him for eternity. Hagar didn't see the well. She had to have a heavenly visitation to open her eyes. The widow woman didn't see God's provision in the meal, or I should really say God's provision in the prophet who came by. Okay? Actually, no, I need to clarify that even better. Didn't see the provision or the blessing of God in the word that she'd received. See, when she quit looking at the word, she quit looking at what God had said. That's when she got into trouble. And that's what happens to you and me. Amen? When we quit looking at the word, we quit looking at what God has said. Okay? Now, brothers and sisters, amen. Let me just see. Oh, God. Song of Solomon chapter 1 and verse 15 and Song of Solomon 4, 1 says this. It says, you are my beloved. You have dove's eyes. Why does God say that the maiden has dove's eyes? I mean, how many of you women would appreciate it if your husband said to you, oh, I love you. You have dove's eyes. You would look at him and say, what have you been drinking? Or what have you, you know? The book of Song of Solomon is so full of typology and symbolism. But what it means when it talks about you have dove's eyes, I'm told that a dove can only focus on one thing at a time. A dove can't focus on two or three things. A dove can only focus on one thing. You see, I can stand here and I can look at Brother Oscar, but I see our sister there. I see Jim over here. Okay? I see, but a dove can only focus on one thing. So when he is saying to his maiden, he says, oh, I love you. You have dove's eyes. He's saying, you have eyes that only focus on me. Eyes that only focus on one thing. So I'm going to ask you again, what are you focusing on? What is the thing? Do you have dove's eyes? Are you focusing on the things of God? Or are you focusing on the word of God? Are you focusing on life in the natural? What is it you are focusing on? Okay? Because when we focus, we have dove's eyes and we focus only on Him. Everything else begins to fall to the wayside. Everything else begins to fall apart. Oh, but the troubles and the sorrows and the... What are you focusing on? Amen? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Zechariah 2 and verse 8, and I'm going to close. I'm not done. I'm just going to close. Because I believe I've gotten the main message God wants to say. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8 says this. He that touches you touches the apple of my eye. Do you really understand that as far as God is concerned, you are the apple of His eye? He, I'll put it in these terms, He has dove eyes towards you. He is, and when someone touches you, they are touching what God considers to be very important to Him. Amen. But what happens too often is that something begins to come against us. Life, the enemy, whatever, okay? Situations, problems, you know? Lost my job, I lost my home, I lost this, I lost that. And we start looking at all those things instead of Father. I have not been able to check this out, but someone I heard recently said that do you understand that God only, that Jesus only used the term my God one time in His life, And that was when he's hanging on the cross and he said, "My God, my God." Every other time he talks to him as "my Father, my Father, my Father." Wow. That's just something to chew on for a little while. But what do? Are we "my Father"? You know. And I just worship you. Amen. I'm just going to glorify you. I'm just going to bring glory and honor unto you. I just worship you. And as you begin to worship him, you begin to draw an atmosphere. You begin to change the climate around about you. Oh, Father, Lord, I love you. I bless you. And the climate changes. And things, you just continue to worship and continue to enjoy the presence of God. And oh, the climate continues. And next thing you know, you've got a stronghold. And God says, "Who is it that would touch you? What is it that my child needs? Let's move." And the angels of God begin to move. And the things of God begin to change. And our whole situation begins to change and bring glory unto him. Amen. And lift you up. Oh, come on. There's so many more scriptures that we could look at, but I'm going to just quit with that. I've got a couple of things that I feel like God wants to do here. Amen. And Brother Richard, while we were worshiping the Lord, I felt like God gave me a word. I look back at you, and I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget it. But God says that he has you in a time of expansion. There's an enlarging of your coasts, that he is bringing you into a place where he's increasing your vision and your purpose. Okay? And this is a time when God is enlarging things inside of you, and he's causing you to recognize something far greater than you have. You mentioned in Sunday school about 8 years, and you mentioned that things are a lot better, that you recognize. Well, God just spoke to me too about this and said that he's enlarging your coasts and your outreach. He's beginning to opening up your vision and your purpose and beginning to expand you. Amen. For he had you, as it were, almost in a box, almost in a box is a good description, I guess. He had you in a corral, maybe. But anyway, he had you contained. But God is taking down those fences, and he's opening up the area and beginning to cause things to change in your vision and in your purpose. And you're going to find that influence is going to become much greater as you continue to just walk in him, because it is a new day and a new hour for you. And new things are coming your way. And the things that you have looked at in the past as being those things that you couldn't contain, you said this morning, that you couldn't contain, you couldn't go, you couldn't handle those things. Well, those things are just, he's going to show you that he's taking you even further than what you think even today. And he's opening up your vision and opening up your purpose. Amen. And new life is coming your way as you continue to just worship and praise him, bring glory and honor into him. Amen. What's your focus, folks? What are you looking at? What is the thing that you have, the purpose of God for your life? What's the word of God that he has spoken to you? 1 Timothy, I think it's chapter 2 and verse 18 says this. It says, by the prophecies that have gone forth before you, you can fight a good warfare. And what is your purpose? What is the prophecy? What is the prophetic word? What is the thing that God has shown to you that he wants you to really focus on and to know? Because sister, what's your name? Lillian, because Sister Lillian, there's some purposes of God in your spirit and in your life, and God has given you a vision, and he's given you a purpose. There's some things, though, that you've laid on the side, and you've just kind of laid them aside because you said, I don't know, this can't be me. This can't be of God. It's almost like the widow woman, amen, that just heard the word of the Lord and said, well, Lord, you know, that sounds good, but really, in fact, I won't say you did this, but it's almost like you said, get behind me, Satan. That can't be of God. But it was of God. God did speak some things to you, and he's going to open some doors for you, and he's going to bring forth some new things in your life. Amen. And he wants you to change your focus from the things that you have been looking at to the things that God has said to you and about you, because you belong to him. You're not another. You belong to him. Amen. But the enemy has tried to make you think that he has control of your life, and tried to make you think that you're just one. one of many. But God says, no, no, my hand is upon you, and I'm looking firmly at you, says the Lord. And my hand is stretched out to you even this day to lift you up out of the difficulties and out of the situations that you find yourself in even today, says the Lord. And I will cause you to have the wings of the eagle that'll lift you higher above the storm that you are experiencing at this time in your life. And I'm going to cause you to soar above that, says the Lord, to where people are going to say, some people are that don't understand, they're going to say, boy, she's hard-hearted. She isn't even taking these things into and recognizing the situation she's really in. But you're going to say, no, 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 I see the situation clearer because I'm above the whole thing. And I see the whole storm, not just what's attacking me right now. And the Lord is going to raise you above that storm and cause you to even see the glory of your God that is shining above the storm. And you're going to enjoy the warmth of that glory and enjoy the warmth of the sun as he shines upon you, says the Lord. And then you're going to begin to just find the storm dissipating and new life beginning to come all around you, says the Lord. So look no longer at the storm. Look no longer at the circumstance that you find yourself in, but look unto me and know that I am the author and I'm the finisher of your faith, and I'm everything in between, says the Lord. And I will cause you to know me, says thy God, and to know me in reality. Amen. Father, we bless Lily in the name of Jesus. We thank you for her by the power of your word. Amen. And what's your name, sister?
Cynthia.
Amen. I just want to say again how I enjoyed that praise and worship. And a couple of those songs in particular really spoke to me. And there's been a real cry in your heart to just worship him. And I just kind of had a vision of you sitting at home and you're kind of preparing for the services and that. But there's something that begins to take over and you just begin to worship the Lord at home. And there's things that just begin to go in your life and in your spirit. Amen. And was that your son that played that saxophone? I'll tell you. There he is. I'll tell you what. Young man, that blessed me. I want you to know that. I felt the presence of God in a very strong... What's your name, young man?
Tim.
Tim, I felt the presence of God in a very strong way as you began to play that one song and that instrumental part there, you began to play out. There was a presence of God that began to settle over this place. And I would encourage you to spend time in the presence of God because he has a call on your life and he has a desire to even move you into things that you aren't even aware of at this time. And he's going to bring you into that place. As you worship him, he will cause new doors to open. But more than that, he will cause people to recognize not the talent, but the anointing that I have placed upon you. And I will cause that anointing to grow, and I will cause the Spirit of God that is inside of you to even become the foundation of your life. Do not build on any other foundation, says the Lord. But know that I have built. I've taken your mother, and through her, I've begun to build a strong foundation. And I am going to begin to build upon that foundation. It is not going to be a shack, says the Lord, but it will become even a skyscraper that will begin to show the glory of God to many, many people, says the Lord. Amen. Let the anointing follow the anointing of God in your life, says the Lord. And continue. I forgot your name, I'm sorry.
Cynthia.
Thank you. And continue to just fill your home with a praise and worship. And continue to even build the foundation in your son's lives. Because as you do this, says the Lord, you will catapult them beyond your very self, which has been the cry of your heart for a long time. And you will catapult them, says the Lord. Amen. I just saw that in a vision. I just saw all of a sudden you just, and slinging them. Amen. And it'll be because of the cry of your heart and the very desire of your heart to see the things of God come to pass in you and in your family, says the Lord. Father, I bless her and I bless her family in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. By the power of your Spirit, Lord God, you're doing amazing things right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Are you the three ladies from Urbana? Oh, bless you. Father, I bless these ladies in the name of Jesus. Drive so far to come down here. Amen. I bless them, Lord. And I ask for safety on the road. Amen. Amen. You're a grandmother, aren't you? Are you a grandma? You're not?
She's been a mother
to many. Okay, there we go. There we go. You're a mother and a grandmother to many, okay? Hey, don't have to be natural, okay? But I just saw a lot of people, a lot of younger people that began to just look to you as a grandma, all right? And God says that I have placed that inside of you. What's your name?
Betty.
Betty. I have placed that inside of you because there is a desire to know the things of God. The Word of God has been very important to you, and the Word of God is something that you enjoy just getting into and studying and learning and knowing, and you're opening yourself up all the time to new understanding of the Word. Amen. And you're not just looking for any word. Amen. You're like the Bereans who are checking these things out to make sure they're true. Amen. And God says, continue to check because I got some new revelation. I got some new ideas, some new things I want to show you, says the Lord. And I'm going to open my word into your spirit. And there's going to be, I don't know what you do at home, but there's going to be, I just saw a vision of you like sitting at a little table and people, like young kids just sitting at the floor and you're telling them stories, but the Word of God, it's like, the only way I can really explain it is like when someone is in the library, you know, and they're sitting there and reading this story and the kids are just enraptured by the storytelling that this person is doing as he's reading that book. Well, that's what I saw, except that you're going to be sharing the Word of God in that way. Amen. You already do it. You already do it. But there are some that are coming that are there. They're like little children. Now, they might be adults. They might be elderly. But in the spirit, they're little children. And they're learning. And they're sitting at the feet of Jesus as you begin to open the word to them. Amen. Continue to just be faithful to me, says the Lord, and I will. Oh, yes. For your destiny is not over. Destiny is not fulfilled. I still have things for you to accomplish in me, says the Lord. So my daughter, look up. Look up. Amen. And I'll bring healing into your body, and I'll bring strength to you, and you will begin to see new things in me, says the Lord your God. Amen. Can we worship the Lord for a moment? Amen. Can we just worship him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mighty, mighty God. Lord, we thank you. We bless you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Oh, isn't Jesus wonderful? Let's stand. We've been sitting for a little while here. Not as long as I usually minister, but that's okay, isn't it, Marge? That's okay. That's okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, it's good to have Ezra here and her daughter. Amen. I guess she lives kind of close to here and saw this place. She's with us last night at Brother Gary and Sister Lois's and came out to be with us this morning. Good to have you here. Amen. Amen. Father, I want to just bless this people. Lord, in your word, you've given us commandment to bless, and I do. I bless them, Lord, and I just pray your blessings upon each and every one. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to watch over them. Protect each one as they travel, as Nancy and I travel. Lord, let your protection be upon us. Watch over each one, Lord Jesus. And give us a good day into your presence, Father. And Lord, we just pray that more and more ministries will come out of this place. More and more ministries will come out of this place as people learn and hear the word of the Lord. And you open their eyes to not only the provision of God that's for them, but the ministry of God that's within them. Open their eyes, Lord, as you did with Zerubbabel and Joshua and the people. And they began to rebuild the temple. And they began to work. They began to go and to get the wood, the people, the neighbors. They began to bring them into your presence. Father, we just thank you for that. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will cause our eyes to be open to the things of God and the provision, not just the natural provision, but even more important, the spiritual provision that you have given to us. Open our eyes to know what it is you want us to become, both individually and corporately, Lord, that we might see greater and greater things take place in the earth. For Lord, we can get so caught up with all the problems of the world and all the problems of this nation, we can get so caught up with them that we fail to recognize what you have said and what you are doing in us. And Lord, we just pray right now you'll open our eyes to new things in you. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Bless you.